sins all fly away to a home on God's celestial shore.
How many of you would like to see some exciting pictures from Ecuador? Good. I think that was 100%. Be here next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. And we're going to be sharing some of the things that happen in Ecuador. To kind of whet your appetite. You ever seen old men run up a hill, a 30-degree hill, pulling and pushing a wheelbarrow full of cement? Well, come next week and we'll demonstrate for you. Pat will. I won't. All joking aside, we'd like to share the pictures, the memories, the victories that God gave. Show the children. We ministered to, or were able to minister to, and that Compassionate Ministries International is working on groups of 200 children at a time. And so it'll be an exciting evening. If you'd like to see, why, we invite you to come. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. John, would you like to come and ask God's blessings on our offering?
Our Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for the privilege of assembling together to return, one of the reasons, to return unto you the portion that you have asked for, that you have blessed us with. Thank you. And we give you the praise. Amen.
Amen.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor.
Together in unison. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done, he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where my first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Well,
like the sun in darkness.
his height and shut his glories in. When Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
aren't you thankful for the cross and all that it represents today? Christ giving his life for us. And indeed, it is why we do what we're going to do. So I just would encourage you as we think about prayer this morning, within your bulletin was a slip like this. Perhaps there's someone that God would lay on your heart for you just to present that to, and it gives them an invitation to come and be a part of our day next Saturday. It is our gift to our community. And we have to be honest, it costs us a significant amount to do what we do that day. It's all free to all of them. But I remind you that we are here this morning because someone paid a very great price for us to have our sins forgiven, to have the promise of eternal hope, and to have a constant companion in the Holy Spirit, all for free to us. And so we want to present that same message to our community and to those who are around us. And so we encourage you to consider signing up and being a part of that event, helping us to carry that out. And so we ask you to pray about that, and perhaps God would lay on your heart a specific person that he would have you to invite to that event. And we encourage you to do just that. And we ask you this morning to remember in prayer. We've had an individual who really has been a part, I think until last year, had been a part of all of our car shows, a young man by the name of Brett Clark. And a year ago, he lost his brother, took his own life just about the time before the car show. And he was not with us last year, but Bob Mead and Rhonda saw him yesterday and got to visit with him. He's hoping to be back this year. But we want to remember him. He's gone through a difficult time and been reconciling all that in his heart and mind. And so that's a challenge. But you remember Brett in your prayers. He has, I believe it's a 32 Chevy coupe that pulls a Coke trailer behind it. And it's a very unique, a gloss black. It's won the best of show a couple of different times he's been here. And he's been a great person to work with and be a part of our show. And so just pray for him and his family. I know that that would be meaningful to them, and we'd appreciate that so very much. And then we continue to pray for these situations that are listed within our bulletin. We know that indeed that James will be having a procedure done on Friday. Ruth will be having a procedure on the 25th. Dee will have her surgery on the 19th. So we got some folks that have some upcoming issues. It is so good this morning to have Chad and BJ and Hunter back in service with us. And BJ has for a church our size, it seems like that a lot of people who have associated themselves with us, we've had a huge amount of heavy situations with people and some of the health issues that they've had to deal with. But we're so glad, BJ, that you feel like being here today. And pray that God will continue to use the treatments that that you're going through, that that will help you. And we pray that he will give you a complete healing. That would be our prayer. That's our wish. And we're just glad that you guys are here and with us this morning. We want to continue to pray for the men in halls. They had hoped to be back this morning. But, some of you may not know, but Lane, in this whole battle with the cancer that he's been fighting since he was 7 years old, he is now having his legs casted to try to get them to turn back and muscles to do correct things, and the cast cracked. And so they had to go back to the hospital last night, be recasted, and this is going to be kind of an ongoing process. But pray for Samantha and Emily and Lane and Richard as God helps them through that that time. And then I just want us to remember this morning, matter of fact, excuse me, Tuesday, Nixa schools will start. Thursday, Ozark schools will start. Springfield schools are starting up somewhere close in time as well. A lot of our kids are going back to school, and we want to be praying for them. But Chase and Jeremy and Alex. Now, Chase, I think, is going to get to kind of stick around in the area. But indeed, this week, Jeremy and Alex will be leaving and going to where they're going to school. And that'll be a new adventure for them, a first time to take that situation on. And so I'm just going to invite you to stand with me at this time as we pray. And Jeremy and Alex, I want you just to kind of step out to the aisle there at the end of your pew. And Chase, if you'll you'll kind of slide out to the aisle there. And then just to remember all of our students, but pray for these college kids. That's a big new adventure in their lives. If some of you want to gather around them as we sing together, you're welcome to do that and just lay your hands on them and affirm them in prayer that God will help them in this new adventure in their life. Indeed, pray for our teachers, pray for our students as the schools are going back into session. And there'll be a lot of things that are going on. There's always things on that first day. Buses are running, and there's always traffic issues. And of course, there's construction going on at two or three of our school sites in Nixa. And so that's going to change the logistics of how some things get done. And so just a lot of things that are happening. And again, just let me ask you every day this week to cover Faith, Family, and Fun Day with your prayers, that indeed God will allow us to share the gospel. And that perhaps we'll break through that wall that the enemy sometimes has and help us to reach out to people and indeed to share with them what Christ can do and who he can be in their lives, and that they would be willing to accept that. And so just to pray for that and consider what you might be willing to do. There's a sign-up sheet, as Cody's already mentioned, out as you go out today, that you can sign up to volunteer to help us on that day. And it's just it's a corporate effort, a team effort. It takes everybody working together to make that a great and a fun day, and it helps each of us. These altars are open to you, as is always the case. If you're here this morning, you have a heavy burden that you need to lay down, or you have praise that you need to lift up, why, we encourage you to find a place, and then we'll lift our voices together in prayer after we sing.
He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. Comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I can ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be.
Father, what a privilege it is to be in your house together with your family, our family, to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to be in the presence of the Almighty, to step into the throne room of God, to have the Holy Spirit, our constant companion, to be permeating the air around us, to know that indeed there are angels encamped around about us. Lord, we couldn't be in a better place today than where we are right now. So, Lord, we thank you for your presence, for your power, for all that that you provide for us. We have come with hearts of thanksgiving. We're thankful for all of the blessings of life, the things, the benefits that you have given to us to enjoy. And Father, we thank you most of all for the plan of salvation. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to be saved today, that we're able to have the promise of an eternal home in heaven, that indeed that we have been granted the constant companionship of the Holy Spirit, that we have been given a guidebook for life in the Bible, and Father, that you have equipped us for all things. And Lord, we just pray today that you would help us to live in such a way that others would see you in us, and that indeed they would be attracted to you, and that they would want to know you because of what they see and hear from us. And Lord, we just pray today within our own lives that you would bless. You know that there are those that are dealing with sickness. We've already talked about. We pray as a great physician that your healing hand would be upon them. We pray, Father, for those that maybe are going through employment changes and situations in their life. We know that you're the provider, that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and that everything in the earth is yours. And so, Lord, we know that you're able to take care of our needs as we give what you have given us and our ability to work. And Lord, we just pray that you would make that provision. And then, Lord, most of all, we thank you that indeed when things are not correct spiritually between home and heaven, that you are gracious and merciful, loving and forgiving, And indeed, Father, that you want to help us to be where we need to be, that you want to give us a right relationship with you, and that you want to have us into your heaven for our eternity. So, Lord, help us now this day as we worship you to indeed give you the honor and praise that you are worthy of. That indeed, Father, that we would be encouraged, that it would give us the strength that we need to go through the challenges of this week. And Father, that indeed that we would go away from this place this morning saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you because you are worthy of all praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Father, we just pray now that you would go with us, fill us with your Spirit, and bless us, meet our need, and may we be a blessing to you as we go. And we'll give you praise for it all in Jesus' powerful and precious name. And all God's people said, amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9 and verse 4. The pictures that you will see on the screens this morning are pictures from past Faith, Family, and Fun Days. And for some of you, this is a new adventure. You're new enough to the church family. You've not participated in one of these before. And so we're glad that you are here. Hope it'll be an enjoyable time. And if you feel so impressed, so led to do so, we would encourage you to step in and be a part of what's taking place. I had originally, as I was writing this material, putting it together, praying, and as God was giving direction, the title of this sermon started out as "Do the Work." I didn't really like that, and so later in the week, as I was praying, matter of fact, about 4 o'clock yesterday morning, and to be quite honest, after working all week, that is really not what I want God to do, is wake me up at 4 o'clock on Saturday morning to talk to me about things. But that's okay. That's indeed what happened. But He reminded me of a phrase that everybody is just pretty near everybody is familiar with. I'm wondering, do we have any old Navy men here? Are there any Navy guys? We got some Navy gals. All right, very good. All right, wonderful. So, obviously, we know what all hands on deck mean, right? Well, that was the title that God indeed prompted me to turn to. I didn't really like the do the work thing. And I was thinking about the essence of what I felt like God was trying to say and challenge me, and how He would have me to challenge you this morning about that. And so I want us to turn our attention to John chapter 9, verse 4. It reads this way: "As long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work." I don't know if you catch that scripture really the way that it hit me, but it somehow begins to challenge me to say, maybe we need to increase our attention. Maybe we need to up our game a little bit. That indeed, we have all heard for many, many years that Jesus is coming again. How many of you have heard that Jesus is coming again? Okay. And so how many of you have heard that so many times, and you've heard all of the 88 reasons why Jesus was supposed to get here in 88 and He forgot and didn't come? That we kind of get like that group of people that's described in Peter's writings, where he said, you know, there are scoffers out there, and they say they've been saying that as long as I can remember. And so we kind of get complacent. Not intentionally. It's not because we're bad people. It's not because we're trying to spit in God's eye or anything. But we get comfortable. And comfortable is not a bad thing, but it can become a bad thing if our comfort begins to kind of cause us to diminish our commitment. And so what I get from this verse is God trying to say, you know, I placed you on the earth. I gave you a great situation, and I have some things for you to consider. And perhaps you're not considering them. Perhaps we cease to consider them as we should. And so I guess this morning that's kind of my challenge, is for us to consider, even as we think about this day that we're preparing for. And we've done this for several years in a row now, so we're better at some things than we used to be, or at least we're more organized about some things than we used to be. Some of the things that we used to have to create from scratch, we've done this enough times now that we have several of the pieces that we use to make this day happen. We have signage, and we have some other things, and we save them every year, because it's a whole lot faster to put out the same signs in good condition that we had from last year, then just have to make new ones every year. There's certainly less cost. We become better stewards of God's dollars by taking what we have invested in already and using it again, recycling it, maybe fixing it up a little bit, changing it a little bit, but indeed using it again. And it helps us to get there sooner. It helps us to be more ready for the situation. We have some people now who have done the same job about every year. And so they're getting pretty refined at what they do, and they're pretty sharp at it, and it takes them less time to prepare to set up their station and their particular game or whatever it is. And so that's exciting that all of that has happened. But sometimes we can get comfortable and complacent in anything we do in life, and we don't give it the same effort. And so it just seemed that God was challenging me to remind us not just about this day in particular, but using this day and this preparation as a parallel to our Christian life in general, that there are really some things that we need to be responsible to that sometimes we get kind of complacent and we just kind of leave for others maybe to respond to, or maybe we just haven't given it the same intensity. How many of you are glad today that you're saved? How many of you are glad that your sins are forgiven? And you're glad that you have a home in heaven? And all of that is a wonderful thing, but we sometimes enjoy the benefits so much, and we're so geared into knowing that grace is free and that there's no works that we can do. We can't earn our salvation. There's no work you can do that's going to save you. We know that. But what we have to remember is that in the process of living out faith, there is work to do. And that's kind of what this verse is all about. It's saying that as much as we want to appreciate God's blessing and God's benefit, we don't want to forget that, hey, God placed us here because He chooses to work through us. Now, we know that God can do pretty much anything He wants to do, any way He wants to do. So have you ever considered that it really ought to be kind of a compliment that He chooses to work through us? I mean, we're the chosen course of action. He said, I pick you. How many of you have ever been on the playground and didn't get picked? You know, I'm glad God picked me to do some things to help in His work. And so the first thing I want us to consider this morning as we think about this verse of Scripture, as long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no one works. And so I want us to consider the fact that there is work to do. How many of you know what the work is? Okay. Getting the message out. That's right. Jesus was about His Father's work. I'm going to read several passages of Scripture to you today, and you can see them there on the screens. But I just want to refer some things because, you know, my mom used to tell me when I was growing up, if Jesus did it, it was okay for me to do. You know, that was kind of how she guided me. You know, if Jesus did it, it's okay for you to do. And so I always figure that Jesus' example is a good example for us to follow. What do you think? Think it's a good thing. So if you look in John chapter 4, in verse 34, we find Jesus speaking these words. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. So Jesus came to earth knowing that He was here on a mission. And when we become Christians, I hope that we come into a realization that while it's wonderful to enjoy all of God's blessing and benefit, and we should do that, God wants us to do that, He wants to give us good gifts, but we need to be reminded that indeed we have some responsibility, that there's work for us to do. And Jesus came here on a mission, and we indeed have a mission. In John chapter 5, in verse 17, you just have to flip a page or so there, Jesus said to them, My Father is always at His work to this very day, and I too am working. Now, every once in a while, people need rest. We're people. We're not God. We're not perfect. We have imperfect, corrupted bodies, and God created the whole thing. And even on the seventh day, God rested. And one of the laws that we break sometimes that breaks us is that we don't fit rest into our schedule. Did you know that several years ago there were other countries that began to become industrialized nations? If I remember this correctly, I think it happened in France. But they went on a seven-day work schedule. They worked more hours and longer hours, and they worked them 7 days a week, and their productivity went down. And what they discovered was that there's a cycle to things. And that if indeed they follow those cycles, that their workers were more efficient, that they produced more, and they didn't even work as many hours. So therefore, it didn't cost the company as much to pay them because they got more of them in less time. And so there is a point of efficiency to where things work properly, and getting rest on occasion is something that needs to fit into our schedule, but we need to be committed to the work that's out there to be done. In John chapter 6, in verse 29, Jesus said this. Jesus answered, the work of God is this. So here it is. He's going to give us the answer. The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. To believe in the one He has sent. That's our work.
But now, if we believe in the one he has sent, and if we are followers of Jesus, then what's going to be the automatic? We're going to do the teachings of Jesus. Okay? So whatever Jesus said to do. We know that God has a work for us to do. It tells us right here. And then we're reminded. How many of you know that passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2 that says that we're saved by grace, not by faith? It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How many of you have heard that verse of Scripture before? Okay, that's not what we're talking about today. How many of you remember what verse 10 says? If you go to Ephesians chapter 2 and you read that salvation passage, how many of you remember what the next verse says in chapter 2? It's right there. See, there it is. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now, works don't save us, but works are part of our response out of a heart of appreciation for the wonderful free gift of salvation that God has given us. We say, what do you want us to do, God? We're yours. What do you want us to do? And he has a mission for us. He has a task for us. In Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Our first work is to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. To believe in the mission. If we believe in Jesus Christ, then we know that God so loved the world that he sent his Son to provide eternal life. So if God sent his Son to provide eternal life for us, why did God put us here? To help others of us. Because not everybody gets this Jesus thing first. Matter of fact, Jesus is coming down, and so some people haven't even heard about Jesus. Some of you have been here all the 29 years that I've been here, have heard me tell this story several times. I'll never forget it as long as I live, but I had a friend who was a right offensive tackle for the Los Angeles Raiders, and he married a girl who was a Los Angeles Raiderette, and at age 21, as a bona fide American citizen, she had never heard the word Jesus. Los Angeles, California, playing for one of the most well-known football teams. You know, play, was a sideline cheerleader, had never heard the name of Jesus. Not everybody knows. And part of our task is to live Jesus in such a way that when people ask us, why don't you get mad like everybody else? Why are you happy all the time? Why this? Why that? Then our answer to them is Jesus. What God has done in our lives, the Spirit of Christ, the joy that I have in my heart, it's about Jesus. And so our responsibility is to carry out that work. Now, like any other thing, here's the fine line, because whatever God wants to happen in life, the devil will try to corrupt in some manner. He'll try to get involved and mess it up. And so here's what happens. If you're going to work, then the devil says, okay, get really busy doing stuff that doesn't matter. Have a lot of stuff on your platter. Have a lot of stuff on the agenda and don't really get to the real stuff. And so what happens sometimes is in the process of life, we live in an age now with all this technology and all this opportunity that sometimes there is so much clamoring for our attention that we get caught up in the urgent rather than the important. What is pressing for your attention right this moment? You got to do something right now. Sometimes if you stop and look at it, it's really not that big a deal. Sometimes we clutter up our agendas and our schedules with stuff that really doesn't make an eternal difference. Not that it's bad or sinful, but sometimes we just need to sort our priorities out. Sometimes we need to figure out what really is important. And Jesus, when Jesus left this planet, when he went back to the right hand of the Father, did you know that he left a specific thing that we're supposed to do? He gave us a specific command. Now, he didn't give us a list, but those disciples who were standing there as Jesus was preparing to go, Jesus made a specific statement to them. We call it the Great Commission. It's found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, when he said this to them. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So he told us two specific things in this passage that we're to do. So these good works, the things that God left for us to do, are in these directives that Jesus said. This is what our responsibility is. Now, yes, we have to deal with the dailies, taking care of our families and having our job and making our income and all those kinds of things. God knows that that's all part of life as we live it now. It all came out of the curse in the beginning, you know, when Adam and Eve had the fall in the garden. They had to work. He said, you're going to have to work now. You're going to have to break up the ground and work and, you know, get what you want to eat. And it was going to be a different world now that sin entered in to what God had planned for them. But he left these specific instructions. I want you to go and make disciples. That's evangelization. I want you to evangelize the world. And I want you to teach them. That's discipleship. And so our responsibility as Christians is to do what we do. And there can be all kinds of methods. There can be all kinds of things that can fit under those two umbrellas. But basically in our life, in our umbrellas, we should either be trying to bring people to knowledge of Christ or teaching people about Christ. Most everything that happens in our churches, most everything that happens in our life should be about that. Now, there can be some other things that benefit. You know, what we're going to do on Saturday with Faith, Family, and Fun Day, everything that we're doing that day is geared to one thing, the opportunity to present the gospel to people who maybe have never heard it. Now, out of that, if indeed there are some people that should accept Jesus Christ, if there are some people who should come and say, I don't have any place to go to church, and that we would say, well, you're welcome to come to our church. Matter of fact, we're going to have church tomorrow. And on Sunday following Saturday, we'll meet here just like we are today, and they'll be welcome to come. When they come, those who have been evangelized then will receive discipleship. If they want to go to Sunday school, they can. If they want to sit under the preacher, they can. If they want to go to small groups, they can. There's all kinds of things that are happening, but all of those things are about discipling people. They're about teaching people the Word of God, the Bible. How many of you have ever sang the song B-I-B-L-E? Do you know what the Bible stands for? Do you know what B-I-B-L-E stands for? You didn't know that God made acrostics, did you? B-I-B-L-E stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. That's the stuff you got to know to get where you want to go. So we teach it to other people. We share it with them. And indeed, we have a responsibility to share this gospel, to go out and to try to win people. How many of you have ever heard of D.L. Moody? If you're young, you probably haven't. But if you've been around for a while, you understand D.L. Moody is one of the great preachers back in the early 1900s. Says one day a lady criticized D.L. Moody for his methods of evangelism in attempting to win people to the Lord. And Moody's reply to her was, I agree with you. I don't like the way I do it either. Tell me, how do you do it? And the lady replied, I don't do it. And Moody retorted, then I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it. You know, there's a time and a place in history. I can remember a time and a place in history in the Church of the Nazarene where if we would have had the word carnival attached to anything, it would have been... Times change. Not all change is bad. Not all compromise is evil. Sometimes change can be good. It's a method. How many of you know children like to play games? How many of you know children can't get anywhere without their parents normally? So parents have to come. How many of you know that parents drive cars? After they've driven them long enough, they reinvest twice what they paid for them originally back into them to make them look new again. And then people go look at them and say, that's really cool. That's why we're doing what we're doing. Because it brings onto this campus children who have parents who drive cars, who like cool-looking cars. And so they'll come look at them and vote for them. And we're going to have a good time. And you know what? While they're here for a couple hours, it's going to be lunchtime. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to feed them. Guess what it's going to cost them? Nothing. You know why? Because 2 hours later, we're going to invite them into this sanctuary They're going to come in here, and we're going to say, in just a minute, we're going to give away 8 big baskets that are worth a lot of money, and we're glad to do it. We're glad you came today, but just give us 5 minutes of your time. Did you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know that Christ died for you? Do you know that whatever's going wrong in your life, whatever it is that's bothering you, whatever, that we have a God that can deal with it? And if you didn't know, we'd like to introduce you. That seems to me like a better method of evangelizing than sitting at home on Saturday waiting for Sunday to show up. And no, we can't afford to do it every Saturday. But we can afford to do it one Saturday. What if somebody misses hell because of Faith Family and Fun Day? What will it be worth then? But it takes time. It takes money. It takes effort. There was a young salesman who was disappointed about losing a big sale. And as he talked with his sales manager, he lamented, "I guess it just proves you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink." And the manager replied, "Son, take my advice. Your job is not to make him drink. Your job is to make him thirsty." We're going to have fun. I like the way hamburgers and hot dogs smell when they're on the grill. I like them better when they taste going down my throat. I like to eat them. I like music. We're going to play music. I like cars. We're going to show off cars. I like games. We're going to play games. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to have fun, and we're going to do it all in the name of Jesus. And we hope that while they're having fun, that they'll get the idea. Who gave me all this fun today? Jesus. Well, if Jesus is this much fun, I'd like to hang out with him every day. So I need me some Jesus. So instead of a logo that says, "Got milk," our logo will be, "Got Jesus." And we're going to share him. We're going to share him in the way we treat them when they come to play the games. We're going to be nice. We're going to be courteous. We're going to use our manners. We're not going to get tired of them even if they don't act nice. If they don't smell the way we want them to, we're going to smile at them anyway. If they try to get 2 meals when they only have a ticket for one, we're going to be okay with that. Because we're going to love them. Because Jesus does. And God does. And does it go against the grain of everything in me when people start breaking rules? Yes, 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 yes. We're just going to love them. I want everybody to play by the rules. I want everybody to be fair. I want everybody to do what it says in the policy manual. I want everybody to play so that everybody's treated exactly the same. But it doesn't work that way all the time. So if I have to stretch a little bit so somebody could miss hell, that'd be okay, wouldn't it? There's work to do. Evangelization, discipleship, and time is of the essence. Do you know that even the enemy knows that time is of the essence? If you turn over into Revelation chapter 12 and you look at verse 12, it says right here in the Bible, it records that he knows. "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you will dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short." He knows. He's running out of time. He already knows he's going to lose. He's just trying to make the most of the time that God's not got his thumb on his head. We need to gain a sense of urgency. We need to have that same realization that time is short and we kind of need to work up a little bit of lather. How many of you ever been around horses? You ride them hard, put them way wet. You know where that phrase comes from? You know, you ever pull a saddle off one when it's kind of got a foam on its side? Lathered up. It's not because you gave it a bath. It's because it's working. He's going somewhere in a hurry. Time is short. John chapter 4.
He reminds you what the scripture says. John chapter 4 and verse 35. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. We're going to look at the field on Saturday. There's going to be people. I put that thing that's in your bulletin, I put it on the church Facebook page. And then I shared it from the church Facebook page to my Facebook page. And then I hoped that other people would share it. And I'm guessing they did, because most of the time when I post something on the church page, the most hits that I ever see it hit is like 160 people saw this. I got a Facebook message. Too many technologies. This guy Facebooked me and he said, "Do I have to register my car before I come?" I didn't know this guy, never seen his name before. It says right below the picture, "Do I have to register my car before I come?" And I said, "It would be helpful if you did, but no, you don't. You can drive in that day. Just be here by 11:30. Be glad to have you." And I looked down at the bottom. He had taken that picture, shared it from my page to his page. And as of this morning, it said 496 people have seen this. We got 400 hamburgers and hot dogs ready to go. Wouldn't it be so cool if we ran out? Wouldn't that be so cool? The most people we've ever had at this event, counting all of our own people working, was 410. The last 2 years, it's been around 2 to 250. We had some weather issues and some other things and the change of times last year. What if? Just what if? What if we ran out of hamburgers and hot dogs and they were hungry and we fed them Jesus and they got filled up? We need to have a sense of urgency. The field is ripe unto harvest. John chapter 9 and verse 4, it tells us in our text that the night is coming. We need to have a sense of urgency about what we're trying to do. Let me remind you in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, "In the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." That's what we're going to tell those people on Saturday. Today's the day. You can know Jesus today. If you don't already, today. You can walk out of here absolutely sure of your salvation, the forgiveness of your sins, and a home in heaven forever. That's not a bad deal for free, is it? We all cashed in on it. So here's what I say to you. Seize the day. Seize the day. We have an opportunity. It's just one of many opportunities, but we have an opportunity coming up just this area. Maybe between now and Saturday, when you hand out that flyer, you'll have an opportunity to seize the day and share Jesus with somebody. Maybe there'll be people getting saved before they ever get to Faith Family and Fun Day. Maybe they'll come to Faith Family and Fun Day to tell us, "I got saved." Who knows? Anything can happen. What is impossible with man is possible with God. You believe that? So how do we go about this? How do we seize the day? Let me just read some scriptures to you that I think have some insight into them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." It takes commitment. Give a full effort. Put your all into it. Come out here and get, you know, when you're in sports, they say, leave it all on the court, leave it all on the field. Come out here and leave it all on the field. Leave a little in the sanctuary. Wherever you're at that day, leave some on the asphalt. But just give it your best effort.
come in with a full commitment to be a part of what God is going to do on that day. That's exciting. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 11. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. What would happen, Scott? What would happen, Scott, if we went on Friday night and we put up the tent? I saw a big deal. They've got city ordinances in Springfield now they're working on about tents. I saw this on the news the other night. What if we put those two big center poles up? Got that tent hanging, you know, pulled on those ropes a little bit, but we didn't really tie knots in them. What if we didn't really finish the work? What if we worked hard? What if we got sweaty and said, we're tired and sweaty, so we've tied enough ropes? What if a big wind came and all the people eating hamburgers and hot dogs waiting to hear about Jesus ended up under whatever color of tent it is we get this year? Because we didn't finish the work. That would be horrible, wouldn't it? We're going to prepare. We're going to put on the event. We're going to finish the work. We're going to give them the opportunity to meet Jesus. We'll clean it up. We'll come back to the Lord's house the next day. And we'll know that God gives the increase. But we're going to see it all the way through. We're going to finish the work. We give it a full commitment. We give it our best effort. We stick with it all the way to the finish. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We know that times are getting worse all the time, don't we? We're going to make the most of Saturday. We're going to make the most of the opportunity. Whatever people come, we're going to hope that more than 400 people come. But if 200 people come, those 200 are just as important as the 200 that didn't come. However many come, will still be people who need Jesus' love. So we're going to believe for 400 or more. We'll take whatever comes. We'll love them in the same way. We'll give them the same opportunity. We're going to make the most of every opportunity. It's not going to be dictated. Say, oh, well, we got 400 hamburgers and hot dogs. We only got 200 people, so let's just go home. Y'all clean up after yourselves. We're tired. No. We're going to proceed carefully. We're going to make the most of every opportunity. Who knows what will happen in one-on-one conversation, standing at a game or standing beside a car. There might be stuff that happens that's not even in the sanctuary. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. Don't you appreciate when somebody gives a full effort? How many of you ever built fence? How many of you ever built fence with somebody who didn't want to work at it as hard as you did? How many of you have ever built fence with somebody that worked harder than you did? It's easy to appreciate that effort, isn't it? Go at it with all your heart as if you're doing it unto the Lord and not unto men. So it doesn't matter whether somebody else is pulling their weight or not. There's going to be a bunch of us out there. It's not going to help us win anybody to Jesus if we start looking at each other and saying, you know what, I'm sweating my socks off and you're standing there sipping lemonade. You know, what is your deal? We just need to all go out and give our best effort. Love each other, have a good time, trust the Lord to take care of things. We've been here before. We know it'll work. But it's not just faith, family, and fun day. It's every day. Every day, on the job, at play, we meet people. We meet people who need to know Jesus loves them. Evangelization, discipleship. It's Saturday is just one of many things, one of many opportunities, one of many methods, Yes, we want all of this stuff to be concentrated into that day, but this is the kind of effort that we need every day. To share God's love. And here's the assurance that we have. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. We're going to help people. We're going to help them have a good time. We're going to help them have a full belly. We're We're going to help them. And God will not forget all of the efforts that have taken place. God will know everything that everyone has done. Whether it's Faith Family and Fun Day or any other day of any other week, of any other month, of any other year, God's got it all recorded. He knows. He knows. I was reading, as I was studying for this message, and I ran across this. It said, what is our attitude toward our responsibilities? Responsibility for the Christian has been defined as our response to God's ability. Responsibility, our response to God's ability. It says here are five possible attitudes you might have. You might shirk your responsibilities or not fulfill them. You might shelve them and try to procrastinate things and say, I'll do it later. You might shoulder them, and sometimes you may try to take on too much by yourself and indeed not be able to bear the weight. You may shed them. You may have started something, but you don't finish it. But the most important thing is that we share them. We can share the responsibility. The responsibility of evangelizing our world. The responsibility of discipling God's people. We can share that. We can work together. We can do it. And with God's blessing and strength and involvement, many wonderful things can take place. I encourage you, get involved. Figure out what your responsibilities are. Follow through. When you walk out of here today, if you weren't sure what you're going to do, Cody's going to be out there. You can sign up to do something at Faith, Family, and Fun Day. And we'll appreciate that. But it's more than that. It's about remembering that there's a lost, hurting, and dying world all around us. Wherever we have the opportunity, wherever it presents itself. In 1 Peter, it says, always be prepared to share an answer for the hope that you have. Always be prepared. Always be prepared. Well, there's work to do. Time is short. We have to make the most of every opportunity. We have to seize the day. So, here's what I say to you today. All hands on deck. You know, the dictionary says that means all personnel are needed for a major undertaking. It means that it's a call to do a lot of work in a short amount of time. And it's a call because normally a third to a half of the crew are not on duty at any one time. Well, every once in a while there's something that happens where it takes everybody's effort coming together to make it succeed. So here's the call. All hands on deck. Let's do this together with God's help for His glory and honor. And let's expect exciting things as we prepare for next Saturday. But more than that, in all of the other events and all the other things that we do and in our daily lives, our individual goings and comings, give our best effort. Be committed to it fully. And know that God will not forget what you've done. Would you stand with me this morning? Just before we go, I hate to close any service without an opportunity for people to pray. And if we're here this morning, if there's a need of any kind on your heart, if there's something between you and God that needs to be dealt with, if you need to lay some burden down, indeed, if there's just something you need to pray, if you need to be an intercessor on behalf of somebody else, these altars are open to you. We're glad for you to come. We're glad to take time. Anyone with any need of any sort that just needs a place to pray, we'll be glad to pray with you. Anybody like that this morning?